Go for launch.
It's alright.
Rockin' and rollin', struttin' and strollin', ramming and jammin'. You are listening to the Casey Ferguson Show on Emerst Island Radio 92.1 FM.
Yeah, then 25 cents will buy you a bag of chips.
Yes, it's Casey Ferguson here, the Dustin Diamond of Kingston Community Radio, back behind the wheel of the Rockmobile. Eric Sardinas kicked off episode 19 of the Casey Ferguson Show with a track called Ride. And what a ride it will be, Wildcats. I have, on this very episode, an interview with legendary guitarist Walter Trout. And as always, the music will be all killer, no filler. We've got much to do, so let's rock and roll hoochie-coo. This is 4x8 on the Casey Ferguson Show.
Slim be standing on the corner, like the dead man laying about. Don't wanna rest, sort of turn inside out. See the lion, that's the bad news. You know that I'm speaking the truth. I don't wanna lose you. 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 Ferguson Show. We'll be right back.
Too hot to handle and too cold to hold. You are listening to The Casey Ferguson Show on Emerson Island Radio 92.1 FM. From the award-winning album Battle Scars, that was Walter Trout with Move On. Before that was ZZ Top, I Don't Want to Lose You. And at the top of the set was 4x Fate with their rendition of Rick Derringer's Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo. My guest on this episode of The Casey Ferguson Show is legendary guitarist Walter Trout. Yes, the artist you just heard. How's that for planning?
You're as smart as you are handsome.
In addition to several successful solo albums, Walter has worked as a sideman for John Lee Hooker and had stints as the guitarist of Can't Heat, as well as John Mayall and the Blues Breakers. He's won several blues music awards and will be performing at Peter's Players in Gravenhurst, Ontario, August 22nd and 23rd. His forthcoming album, We're All In This Together, is available for pre-order now and features guest appearances from the likes of Kenny Wayne Shepherd, Warren Haynes, Randy Bachman, Joe Bonamassa, and more. Walter and I will discuss all of this, but we'll also talk about trying to outrun the past, the liver transplant that saved his life, and the loss of his friend, the late, great Deacon Jones. This is my conversation with Walter Trout on The Casey Ferguson Show. All right, you are listening to The Casey Ferguson Show. Legendary guitarist Walter Trout is on the phone. Welcome to the show, Walter. How's the tour going, man?
Well, the tour is going awesome. Most of the shows have been sold out, and we're just getting great receptions everywhere we're playing, and it's great to be alive, man.
Well, speaking of that, I'm glad that we're getting to have this conversation, because, for a time there, it looked like you were down to your last licks, so to speak.
Oh, I was... way beyond that, it was I'm a medical miracle that I'm here, really. And I was 2 years out of commission, in a hospital bed, and got a liver transplant, and I feel great now. I can't believe it. I'm 66 years old, and I feel like I'm in the best years of my life.
Well, I mean, as you said on Move On, my spirit can be free, but only if I want it to be. And I mean, not to linger on that track, but I was listening to Battle Scars again last night, and, a lyric that really sticks with me, Walter, is, trying to outrun the past seems I couldn't run that fast, and man, I've been there, and it really is amazing how many of us think that we can outrun the past, isn't it?
I know. I think the trick is to give up on trying to outrun it and just accept it and then move on,
Yeah, I agree. It's, a lot of us spend so much of our lives just trying to not face the problem. And I mean, sometimes you think you're facing it, but, you're not facing it head on. And I believe it was Robert Frost that said the best way out is always through.
That's it. And, I know a lot of people, and I was very guilty of this. You can get caught up in thinking about things you've done that you regret. Mm-hmm. And instead of letting that take over and being full of regrets, the thing to do is to just start again and say, okay, I've learned from my mistakes, and I'm going to be a better person now, and I'm going to live life with a different focus,
Yeah, well, it's kind of like the don't let the same dog bite you twice, right?
Yep, that's for sure. Yep.
But enough about the past, Walter. I mean, you got quite a cast on this new album.
It was amazing. I just decided one day, after Battle Scars, I thought I have to do something that's kind of lighthearted and fun, because writing that album for me was a psychodrama, and I'm like, I just want to do something kind of joyous and fun. I think I'll just start calling up my friends and see if they want to record something with me. And it turned into this album, and the guys who showed up, I'm just amazed. It was, this was a labor of love, man.
Well, sometimes that's exactly what one needs. It's just, to get in a room with your buddies and crank the amps up and just let it fly, right?
Yeah. And just jam, and lyrically, just kind of on this one, I just sort of took it easy,
Yeah, well, I can understand that after Battle Scars. Obviously, all records are going to be personal to you, but, that was that was beyond a blues record, man. That was, I dare say, I don't want to speak for you, but probably the most personal record you've ever put out, right?
Yeah, it definitely was, and I think when I'm finally gone and people stop and look back at my career, I tend to think that Battle Scars is the album that is going to stand out, because it was, I didn't write those songs with any thought of recording them. I wrote them as therapy. I wrote them to just say what I felt about what I had been through, and it turned into an album, but I just wrote them for myself, you know, and it is pretty personal, that album. When I do those songs, I always go, well, ladies and gentlemen, these songs are going to be dark, they're graphic, they're morbid, and they're depressing, but that's the blues, you know.
Well, and it's amazing how, you know, one can kind of get pulled away from that just with, you know, the industry and the, oh, we think you should do this and we think you should do that. I mean, at the end of the day, man, you know, music is emotion, and, you know, you were definitely emoting on that record.
Yeah, that whole record was written in 2 days, and it was with tears coming down my face, that whole thing, you know. As a matter of fact, I wrote 6 of those songs in about 5 hours. I mean, that thing just came out. It was unbelievable.
Wow, it was like a stream of consciousness almost.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I still have some of the lyric sheets, and there's hardly any corrections or cross outs on there. You know, I mean, it just came out the way it is.
Well, kind of sometimes with rewrites and everything, you lose that original flavor, I guess, right? Or where the song was coming from originally.
Yeah, and I didn't really censor anything. Like, if a line came into my head, I didn't think to myself, oh, no, you better not write that. You know, I just did it.
Well, and that's the thing. You do, you know, yourself and the song a disservice when you start doing that. And, I mean, I played for a lot of years. I mean, I'm only 33, but I got into my first band at 13, and I never did get to put an album out, but I wrote what was going to be a double record. It was going to be called Tragedy and the Vengeance That Followed. I had a really bad breakup and whatnot. And, yeah, I mean, I basically wrote, you know, that album to be much in the same way that you did, and trying to, you know, just get it out. And, you know, I had made a bit of a silent pact to myself that, yeah, I wasn't going to censor myself. I mean, I generally don't do that anyway, but, you know, I was like, I'm just going to tell it like it is. It's like, I'm not going to try to be tough here. I'm not going to pretend that I'm not hurting. Cause as guys, we kind of do that sometimes, right? It's like, I don't want to seem vulnerable.
Yeah, sure. Exactly. You don't want to sometimes let your guard down, you know. You want to maintain that sort of facade. And on that one, man, there was no facade, let me tell you.
Amen, brother.
Speaking of the new record here, you know, I really enjoy the interplay with Warren Haynes on The Sky Is Crying. I thought you guys just worked together so well.
You know, when I listen to that, I have a hard time believing that we're not standing in the same room looking at each other. You know, I sent him the track with my parts, and I gotta say, he played back at me exactly. I mean, it sounds like we're in the same room.
And I agree. I was fooled.
I sent him the track. You know, that shows really how much of a pro that guy is. He was able to tap into what I was doing and play off of what I was doing. And, you know, some of these tracks that I sent out, when I would get them back and hear what the person did, I would go back and redo my part around what they had done, you know. But with Warren, man, he sent it back and we just looked at each other and went, that's perfection. You know.
Well, I suppose with a guy like that, I mean, he's just got such a highly developed ear all those years, and, you know, the Allman Brothers and Government Mule, you know, he's just able to tap right into that. But I never would have guessed, Walter, that you guys weren't playing in the same room on that one. So you got me on that one.
Yeah, he did an amazing job on there, man. I was floored when he sent it back. And it was great for me to get him on there. You know, I've made a record with him with a band, the Supersonic Blues Machine, you know, with Billy Gibbons and Robin Ford. And I just played on their second one with Billy and Steve Lukather and Eric Gales, and done some shows with those guys. And it's just, I'm really, you know, I'm kind of honored that some of these guys said, yeah, let's record together. It was an honor for me to have these guys, you know?
Well, I mean, you're definitely in good company there. And another standout track for me was the title track with Joe Bonamassa. I mean, is that guy something or what?
That's something else. And that one was done live. You know, he said, man, I really want to be on your record, but only have one day free, and I only have 3 hours. So we were like, well, okay. And we booked the studio, and he came in there, and you're hearing basically we played the song once. That's it.
Wow.
I showed everybody. I wrote it the day before. I said, okay, I need something to do with Joe here, and we'll do a title track. I'll come up with a title track. And we went in the next morning. We sat down. I sat with a guitar and showed everybody how it goes, and we played it once, and that's it. And so there's a lot of spontaneity on there, and he and I were standing about 3 feet away from each other, just going at it, man. And I think it is just a smoking track, you know.
Oh, there's so much energy on it. And your son's on the record too, right?
Yeah, my son is on the record, and he's amazing. I mean, he plays in my band now, and he's also my road manager. And anything I throw at him on a guitar, he throws it right back at me. As a matter of fact, when we play live, we do the Bonamassa track, and he's the other guitar player. And I say to the crowd, I say, okay, no pressure on my son, but on this next song, he's going to be Joe Bonamassa. And everybody laughs, and I go, you just wait. He can do it. And, he just tears it up, man.
Yeah, man, another track. Like, it's got an energy, but it must have just been such a trip and a treat to have your son on the record and, you know, just get to vibe off each other and everything.
It was, and we wrote that song together. You know, we had a day. I said, okay, John, today we're going in the studio with the band, and you know, you and I are going to do something. We need to write a song. And we sat down in the kitchen, and about an hour later, we had that song, and we went in, and we showed it to the band, and we just played it, you know. And I thought it came out beautifully.
Well, there you go. All you kids out there listening to this show right now, that's how records used to be made. You know, you got in the studio and you cranked them out. So don't overthink it. It's rock and roll. It's blues. It's, you know, it's meant to come from the heart.
And
you
know what? And it's not about trying to get it perfect. It's about feel. It's about energy. It's about being human. And to me, if there's a wart here and there, that just adds to it. You know, you don't go in and you don't say, well, I didn't like that line there that I just played. You don't redo it. You just go in and play, you know, and you give it your best shot. And the energy and the feel, with this kind of music at least, that's what's the most important thing.
I concur. Well, you're going to be playing in Gravenhurst August 22nd and 23rd at Peter's Players. And man, old Pete sure puts on some shows there, eh?
Oh, he gets some great people in there. And it's such an awesome venue to see music. I mean, you're up close and personal with the musicians, you know. It's really like they're playing in your living room. And it's very, very informal. And we always have a great time there. I like joking with the audience, and they're really part of it. They're almost on stage with you. And it's really an incredible place to see a musician play. You know, there's not many places like that in the world that you can get that up close to your favorite players, you know.
I just missed you in Toronto. You were just in Toronto recently, right?
I was in Toronto as a special guest with Randy Bachman, and we were the opening act at the Toronto Jazz Festival. And, you know, I played last year in Toronto at Massey Hall at the Jeff Healey Memorial Show, and Randy was there, and we hit it off and became friends. And when I was putting this together and I was calling up my buddies and saying, you want to record, I sent him a message. Hey, you want to play on my record? He's like, yeah, man, yeah. So he's done a cut on there, and it's really one of my favorite cuts on my album. And I had to write a song for him, and I kept thinking, okay, Randy, he grew up in the era when he was a kid. You turn on the car radio and you hear Chuck Berry and you hear Little Richard and Jerry Lee Lewis. He grew up with 50s rock and roll. That was the stuff that was happening when he was a kid. And I thought, so that's what I need to write for him. He should feel right at home with that. And I thought he just did awesome on that track. And we debuted the song that he and I did together. It's called Got Nothing Left. We debuted that at the Toronto Jazz Fest. I got to dying American woman with him. I'm telling you, man, I was just grinning from ear to ear. And then we debuted the song live for the first time. It's actually on YouTube. You can see it on there, the whole thing we did.
Well, we got to get you back to Kingston, man. I think it was like 2011 or something, but you headlined our Blues Fest here, and I was so bummed out because I missed you again at that. And yeah, man, we got to get you back down here to Kingston.
I'd love to come back, man. Bring me back.
All right. Well, I'm going to use, whatever stroke I have here, which is maybe not a whole lot, but, a legend in my own mind and all that. So I'll see what I can do. I'll see if I can pull some strings for you.
Well, you know, you say you're a legend in your own mind. I always say to people, don't you know who I think I am? You know, it's the same thing.
Oh, I love it. Well, I know you got to get in and get some food here. I believe the boys are at the diner. And, lastly, I got to ask you about your time with John Lee Hooker and Canned Heat. Cause I love all those guys. And
that was quite an experience. And, playing with John Lee Hooker was an education. And I'm a little saddened today because, the guy who really found me and got me in with all those people was a great organ player named Deacon Jones. Deacon had been the band leader for Freddie King for 15 years, and he was the band leader for John Lee Hooker. And he was playing with his band in a little club in L.A. years ago, the late 70s. And I went in and asked if I could sit in. It was all black guys. I was this young white guy. And they kind of looked at me and they said, oh, we don't know, man. I said, look, let me play one song, man. What do you got to lose? I said, okay, one song. I played one song. They said, hey, play another song. I played another song. They said, stay up here for the set. So I stayed up. At the end of the set, they said, you want to join the band? And that happened to be John Lee Hooker's backup band. And Deacon Jones was the band leader, and he's played on most of my records. He's actually on the new record. He did a track on my record, Full Circle, where I featured him. And he just passed on today. And I've been kind of affected because when I met him, that's when my life changed. I was playing in a cover band in a bar. And when I met him, that was my introduction to playing with the real blues guys. And through playing with John Lee Hooker is how I got heard by Canned Heat. And I played with him for 5 years, and it was awesome. And one time we did a show opening for John Mayall, and John Mayall said, you want to join my band? So, I mean, that meeting with Deacon Jones that day in that little club literally changed the whole trajectory of my life. And we lost him today, and he was one of the all-time greats.
It's a shame. It just seems, more and more, and you brought up Chuck Berry earlier, and, just more and more of these guys are going, man. And, I guess it's, the older you get and all that. But, Like I said, I'm so sorry to hear that. And, I guess, it's one of those things. We're just lucky to have these people in our lives for however long they're around.
And we got to enjoy it. And one of the things I think that is probably going to mean a lot to me for the rest of my life is I believe that this new album of mine might be Deacon's last record. He's on the Kenny Wayne Shepherd cut. He's on the Joe Louis Walker cut. He's on the Warren Haynes cut. He's on, I think, 5 songs on there playing his organ. And it was great to have him in the studio. He wasn't doing too good. I could tell he was very ill, but he still came in and gave it his best.
Well, I mean, that's one of the great things about music, right, is it lives on forever.
Definitely.
Thanks so much, Walter. I really appreciate you taking the time to be on the show, man. And, do your best to have a good day and stay safe on the road, my friend.
Thanks, Casey. And if you make it to a gig, man, come up and say hello, okay?
Will do, sir.
Take care, man.
All right, you too, my brother.
Bye-bye.
Cheers. Part talk show, part rock show. You are listening to The Casey Ferguson Show on Emerst Island Radio 92.1 FM. That was my conversation with legendary blues man Walter Trout. Once again, Walter will be performing in Gravenhurst, Ontario at Peter's Players August 22nd and 23rd. For a full list of tour dates or to pre-order his new album, We're All In This Together, check out waltertrout.com. Here's a track from the forthcoming record featuring his son John Trout. This is Do You Still See Me At All on The Casey Ferguson Show.
standing next to me. Feels like you ain't even there. You're standing next to me. Feels like you ain't even there. I know I found a reason. I don't believe you really care.
To the Manly Minute, I'm Dan Manley. British spies stopped using semen as invisible ink because it began to smell if it wasn't fresh. Hey ladies, would you like to borrow my pen? The Manly Minute might not be a full minute, but it's close enough to satisfy me.
Hi, this is Eric Johnson, and you are listening to the Casey Ferguson Show.
Thank you.
and bred to rip and shred. You are listening to the Casey Ferguson Show on Amherst Island Radio 92.1 FM.
We tried to stop him, officer, but we couldn't. He hit us and stuff.
That was Eric Johnson, Trademark, and before that, from Walter Trout's forthcoming album, We're All In This Together, was a track called Do You Still See Me At All? In case you Wildcats didn't know, I have a brand new exclusive sponsor for the Casey Ferguson Show here on 92.1 FM.
Now, I know I haven't been the best Christian. In fact, when you're up there blah blah blahing, I'm usually doodling or mentally undressing the female parishioners. Well, anywho, can I have $40,000?
The new exclusive sponsor of the Casey Ferguson Show is Jaybird Digital Arts. Your brand is important to you, and Jaybird Digital Arts has been building brand identities for events, bands, venues, and companies in Eastern Ontario for years. They listen first and then take your imaging to the next level with a combination of sketching, scanning, photography, and Photoshop. Contact them directly to discuss your needs, and always be sure to let them know what kind of budget you have. They can always do something within your budget. You can find all their contact information and check out their portfolio at jaybirddigitalarts.com. You can't afford to have good-looking stuff. You can't afford not to. Jaybird Digital Arts has been a long-time sponsor of the Casey Ferguson Show podcast, and I'm happy to have them on board with me here at 92.1 FM, so I hope you show them some loving. Well, hell, while you're at it, give me some sweet lovin's too. Check out my podcast if you haven't done so already at CaseyFergusonShow.com. I think it's probably time for... What's that, Doug? Sure, I'd like to hear your impression of a cat. Get close to the microphone here so the listeners can hear you. Here to perform his impression of a common house cat is my hairy house guest, Doug McFly. Take it away, Doug. Great, Caesar's ghost. That was actually pretty damn good, Doug. Doug McFly, the most talented fly in a 42-block radius, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah! Woo! Woo, yeah!
Well, it's time for Doug and I to say goodbye. Government Mule will play us out with a track called Soulshine. Remember, it's only an island if you look at it from the water. Until next time, this is Casey Ferguson and Doug McFly, over and out.
Making